It's Monday, August 4th, and you're listening to the Three Nerds in a Basement podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
We also have TJ in the room. And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the world. And oh my gosh, it's already August. Summer is halfway over. Can you believe it?
No.
Yeah, it sucks.
Actually, I can't, because it's August.
Yeah, I can't believe how fast time is moving.
Closer to fall.
Yes. And then closer to winter.
Yes.
And then all over again.
Man, time's so cyclical.
Yeah.
What?
Who knew? Anyways, this week's show is the big movie review that we hinted at last week. The thing that we've all been excited for all year long. The Guardians of the Galaxy review. And then, of course, we have our standard picks of the weeks. And usual, what we've been up to in our own personal time to follow. So let's just get into the movie. Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, this is a brand new Marvel film. Just came out. Based on a whole bunch of assholes that you've probably never heard of. And they're part of Marvel's cosmic... Marvel's lead cosmic space team. I believe this rendition, directed by James Gunn, stars Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Batista, Vin Diesel.
I call he's just Batista.
Yeah.
Not Dave
Batista. Dave Batista. And what's his face? Bradley Cooper. Yeah, this is all based on, I believe, the 2008 reboot of the team.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of expectations and skepticism going into this movie. But from what I gathered over on the internet and just general talk is that it's pretty good. Anthony, is this movie pretty good?
This movie is the best movie.
Oh.
It's better than pretty good.
Oh.
So, getting into all the cosmic stuff, like, I knew about Thanos, I knew about the Infinity Gauntlet,
mm-hmm.
but, like, I never knew about Guardians of the Galaxy, probably, like, a lot of people.
Yep. That's fair.
The only reason I knew of Rocket Raccoon was because of Marvel vs. Capcom.
Oh, right, he's in there.
Yeah.
And that's just recent, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was finally excited to get off of Earth, because you go to Asgard in Thor, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's still kind of contained. Like, you're still kind of contained in whatever worlds they go to. And it's still mostly Earth in those movies. But this one was space.
Yeah.
And they just go out and explore space.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just that alone is so cool.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, Chris Pratt does a great job being kind of like a sarcastic douchebag.
So the asshole with a heart of gold?
Yeah, like the Han Solo, the Nathan Drake, that archetype.
Yeah.
And, man, he looks good. Like, they showed him, like, in some... He really went through some changes physically for that role.
No, he did it actually for another role.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I'm assuming you only know him from, what is it?
Parks and Rec?
Yeah. No, there was another movie where he had to play, like, a Marine dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's why he's super fit. And then he did this role.
Oh, so he's like, oh, while I'm fit, I might as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Whatever, man. Still, even so.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy to see him to go from what he was in Parks and Rec to what he is now.
Yeah.
I like the whole, was something the Accuser? Who was him?
Ronan the Accuser.
Ronan the Accuser. And he's cool because it shows just how immediately deep they went into space. They weren't trying to make someone like, oh, he's like kind of like a human villain, but he's in space. It's like, no, this is an alien villain in space.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to go against Thanos and like all this other stuff. What else? Soundtrack in this movie's great.
Yeah, that's probably your big highlight, I'm assuming.
I knew every song. Well, except for one.
I don't know. I mean, how do you feel about, Pina Colada and Bowie being on the same soundtrack?
I thought that was fantastic. Okay. It's an awesome mix.
I'm just saying, you know.
And
it's a bit outrageous.
It is. No, yeah, no doubt. Like David, I'm going to assume you think David Bowie is better than the Pina Colada song.
I have no opinion.
True.
I like them both.
But, like, that was the whole thing of a mixtape. Like, it doesn't have to make sense. It's just, like, here are a bunch of songs I like on a mixtape.
What person in the 80s would have that mixtape?
Apparently his mom
would
have that mixtape.
All
right. And just the way they use the music in different ways, like, to... This is way more of a comedy movie than it is, Like, I feel like a hardcore action movie. Like, it's, they have serious, like, they do deal with one of the Infinity Stones. Mm-hmm. And they do have, like, kind of planet-ending scenarios. Mm-hmm. But, like, the way everything is portrayed, you never really feel like they're going to lose.
I don't know. I feel like it's another Marvel movie. I think every Marvel movie we go into nowadays is like, oh, it's more funny than it is action. They're all like that.
But I don't know, this one especially. Maybe it's just because I watched this. It's the most recent one I watched.
Yeah, like, if you go back to, like, even back to the first Iron Man, you'll be like, oh, yeah.
This is the way Daddy did it. Yeah. This is the way we do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. With the Patriot missiles or whatever.
Yeah, see? I mean, they're all like that. Yeah. And I guess that's what's great about Marvel, right? They understand their audience.
I don't know, like, I like everything about this movie so much, it's hard to talk about it. Because, okay. Like, I just want to keep jumping around from thing to thing. Mm-hmm. But this movie is fantastic. Every time we saw a movie this year, it's like, this movie's good, but is it better than the Lego Movie? Mm-hmm. And the Lego Movie's kind of been my bar for best movie this year.
Lego Movie's been your bar?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. TJ, would you agree with that? Is the Lego Movie the best movie you've seen this year, too?
Honestly, I don't remember any of the other movies I've seen.
Oh, okay, because I would say my bar for the year is Winter Soldier.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah! Okay, no, that's my bar.
That's your bar? Okay.
I really like that movie.
Okay.
Yeah, so I like Winter Soldier, but I still thought the Lego Movie was better.
Okay.
And, like, this is finally, something has surpassed the Lego Movie for me.
Okay.
It's kind of crazy having two Marvel movies in the top three of best movies this year for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than that, like, it's just fantastic. I'm so happy they just finally went to space.
Like, yeah. Well, I think Marvel were kind of pressured into it because they wanted to do a team movie. Mm-hmm. They did the Avengers, which was a big thing. But I mean, the Avengers wasn't like a real team movie like, say, X-Men or Fantastic Four. Uh-huh. And considering they didn't have those licenses, what was the only thing they had left? And this.
Pull something obscure out of their box.
So in some weird ways, it's kind of a blessing that Fox has the rights to those other teams and that Marvel had to work with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Limitations, but bringing creativity. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. It's like, I'm just so happy this movie exists, and it was also great. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the craziest thing. This is, like, 10 out of 10, 5 out of 5, whatever rating you want to give it. Mm-hmm. Like, best movie this year. Mm-hmm. Hands down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I concur with everything you said. You guys know I like Star Wars, but I've never been able to understand that feeling that a lot of people describe to me when they watched Star Wars for the first time back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And I think I finally know what that feels like. Like, for me, this is the best Star Wars movie I've seen.
it's just like an epic space opera.
Yeah. You know, Groot's the Chewbacca, right?
All the team comes together, even though they're different in so many ways.
You know, it's an adventure born out of mischief, and they go from point A to B, and then it just seems like a really well put together movie. It's a roller coaster ride. Mm-hmm. It barely slows down, and when it does slow down, it quickly starts back up again. I really like the villain's motive and the villain, like. Basically, what the villain's trying to do, like, Ronan wants to eradicate the Kree. Yeah. He wanted to rule the galaxy.
Kill all the Novas.
I just don't think Ronan was very memorable. That's, like, my only gripe. When I think about, like, the best Marvel villains, I think Loki. And I'm like, was Ronan as good as Loki? No. Was he half as good as Loki? Not even close.
Loki's a high bar, though.
Like. Yeah. I think that's the only real criticism I can pin on it. Like, I wish the villain was just as memorable as the main cast.
Well, I think that's the thing. Like, I think that they had to bring in this new cast, and they had to make everybody familiar with everybody. Mm-hmm. So I don't, like, unless this movie is going to be Michael Bay 3 hours long. Yeah, like, I don't know if they can give that, like, the same amount.
No, of I don't mean they don't need to make it, like, in a focus, but, like, even when you look at characters, like, side supporting cast, like Yondu or Nebula, those guys seem very interesting, and you kind of like them when they're on the screen. But for me, I guess the guy who played Ronan, just the way he was written, he just seems so, he's kind of forgettable.
No, I totally understand, like, he had no depth. You saw Ronan, like as soon as you saw him on screen, you knew what he was about. He was about he was a space racist that wanted to eradicate a race. He was space Hitler.
Yeah.
And then, and so you kind of know what that is, but when they showed Yondu, like, he always had this, like, air of mystery about him. Like, you knew he was in relation to Star-Lord somehow.
Yeah.
You knew his weapon did something cool, and they always kept this kind of, like, telling you information, but not telling you enough.
Yeah. But, like, even when I go to characters, like, who, I don't know what his name is, but the character that, is it, his name is Digimon Honsu? The little, like, sort of lieutenant that he played?
Oh, okay.
Like, I even found him more entertaining than Ronan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, I guess Ronan was just so bland to me.
Oh, okay.
Whereas that guy, like when Digimon, when they meet him the second time, and he's like, Star-Lord.
Yes!
You know, finally. Like, that part was like, see, like, he brought it, like, and I'm just like, I wish Ronan could have done the same thing. But that's it. What I really love, just the creativity with the film. And it, every scene is so vibrant and full of colors. Especially watching in IMAX, not so much the 3D, 3D was kind of middling, but in IMAX, just seeing everything on screen just looked gorgeous. I really like the sound design. You said the soundtrack was great, and I agree. It was a very fitting soundtrack. And I have a feeling that, a lot of people are going to love Groot.
Yeah.
And
Tiny Groot.
Walking out of that theater, if there's one thing I heard, was like everybody was going, "I am Groot."
Yeah,
and I was just like, "Wow, we live in a world where people are wanting are quoting this Marvel tree."
Yeah,
and definitely my favorite movie by far of the year. It is the Star Wars movie that I always wanted.
I also thought this movie was pretty violent for a PG-13 movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
like that the one scene,
like,
with Groot,
again though, like all these movies are violent.
I think like it's crazy just to me to think, like, with just the omission of blood,
yeah,
how much they can still get away with and still have a PG-13 movie.
It's not even the omission of blood; it's if you change the color of blood too, right?
Oh yeah,
because at the beginning of the movie, some guy gets hammered in the head.
Oh, it's blue blood,
and it's blue blood. Yeah, so
that's
it's weird how the rating system works like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because they use pretty intense swearing in the film, too, but they don't overuse it, and that's how they're able to keep their rating, and, like, a lot of the jokes are sexually suggestive, and...
Very much so,
yes. So, but, you know, I can't say good enough things about this movie. Probably will see it a couple more times, because it is that great. TJ, did you want to add anything on Guardians? Anything that you stood out to you? Things you didn't like? Anything you questioned?
No, it was pretty good. Like, Star-Lord is exactly like he is in the comic. Very sarcastic.
Really?
Very.
Oh, I'd probably love him.
He always makes, like, Earth jokes that nobody gets.
Yeah, I was going to say, because in his short appearance in Earth's Mightiest Heroes, that's what he was like. He made a lot of sarcastic Earth jokes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, you're the best.
It's cool, though, because he's also, like, he's the leader.
Yeah.
And he comes up with crazy plans.
Yes.
So he's not a complete idiot.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He just acts like one.
Yeah.
So he's Han Solo.
What else? Pretty much.
Yeah.
Drax was exactly like he is in the comic, too.
Is it the same thing, like, his race is super literal?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Like, he eventually changes when he meets, I can't remember who it is. But, like, that's how he is when you first meet him.
Mm-hmm.
Gamora. I don't remember her. I just remember she's supposed to be, like, the deadliest assassin in the galaxy.
Yeah.
Which she pretty much kind of is in this movie.
Yeah. She gets taken down by, like, Groot and Rocket pretty easily, though.
Yeah. Well, those two are supposed to be, like, the heavy artillery of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which has always thrown me off, because then what's Drax for?
I don't know.
He's a tank.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I guess the three of them, I don't know. He's the destroyer who has one mission
that's
in
true.
Life.
Yeah, that's
to
true.
Destroy.
To just take out Thanos.
Yeah. That's his goal.
That's his only... That's why he was created.
Yeah. Man, no, I was, I saw a top 10 list of like coolest Thanos moments, mm-hmm. and one of them involved Drax the Destroyer.
Yeah, was it him? I'm not gonna say it because
yeah, no, I'll tell you guys later, but it was pretty cool.
What else? Yeah, I know. This movie was great.
Yeah,
it's pretty true.
Yeah,
from what I've read, at least.
Okay, it's good to hear. I guess the only question maybe we should talk about that end scene.
Which one?
The very, very, very
Howard,
end.
Howard the Duck.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't know. What's your guys' thoughts on it?
I had no idea who he was.
I thought that was kind of lame.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping for something like another like future movie teaser or something.
Well, that's the thing. Marvel took a risk on this movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you remember, just like the days before release, they announced the sequel, meaning that it was never a surefire bet. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think they had confirmation of being able to put in a teaser.
True.
Right? Oh, okay.
I don't think the Howard the Duck thing means a thing. I think it's just one of those little fun probably little, not. Hey, guess what? We're Marvel. We have weird stuff. Let's hire Seth Green. Let him do Howard the Duck. And let's go.
Yeah. I just wish I knew who he was before I saw it.
Apparently he's a Marvel Comics.
Well, I'm surprised you guys have never seen the movie.
I've never even heard of the movie.
Or clips of the movie, Howard the Duck by George Lucas.
No?
Yeah. Well, because that's generally what he's most famous for.
Apparently he was a part of the Defenders, something called the All-Night Party.
Again, don't even worry about it.
Armor, Fearsome Four.
All that matters is that he had his own live-action movie before all the Marvel characters.
He's a master of quack foo.
You in the wiki?
Yeah!
Wow.
Quack foo!
Wow, you're just dying. Okay. Alright then, sure. Okay, final question is, where does Guardians rank in your current top 3 Marvel movie rankings? Because everybody always likes to know what those are like.
One.
Well, give them the rest.
Ooh. Oh.
So, Guardians is one.
Yeah.
I'd say number 2 is The Avengers.
Yeah.
And then 3 is... what could 3 be? It's between Iron Man 2 and Captain America 2.
Okay.
Yeah. I kind of cheated there, but...
Yeah, you did.
I can't. Iron Man... No. Come back to me. I'll think of number 3.
Okay. Go, TJ, what are your ranking? Top 3 Marvel movies now? I mean, does this even affect it?
Right now?
Yeah.
It would have to be Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Then Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd say Avengers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's understandable. Mine would go Guardians, Avengers, and then the first Iron Man.
The first one?
I really like the first Iron Man.
That was a good movie.
Because, I don't know. I just feel like that was the most complete of all the Marvel movies to me.
Oh, no. Another number 3 is the Hulk for me.
Which one?
It has to be the second one.
The second one with Abomination?
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I like that movie a lot.
I mean, I know that was better than the original Eric Bana one, but I wouldn't even put it up there with... Like, that's still on the bottom of the totem pole.
No, I like that movie a lot. Hulk kicks a dude in the chest.
Yeah.
He rips out his spine and stabs him with it.
Yeah. It is a shame we didn't have Blaven here to talk about Guardians, because if anything, what he knows the most about Cosmic Marvel, it's him.
Yeah.
And he'd probably be the most interested in this movie between all of us. And he'd probably be able to shed more light on details and things like that. But he's off still competing at the Pro Tours, and hopefully we'll hear from him next week. Anyways, let's move on with the show. So, picks of the week time. Anthony, do you want to start with picks of the week?
Sure. My pick is an update on a previous pick. Potato Salad Kickstarter has finally ended.
Ooh.
It's been a month. And out of the $10 that he originally needed, he got, with 6,911 backers, he got a total of $55,492.
You know what? That's a little bit lower than I was expecting. I was hoping he was going to break 6 digits.
Yeah, that would have been crazy. But like it's finally done. The kid, like, I don't know how they're gonna make, or if they even will make $50,000 worth of potato salad. But now is the point where I want to see what he does with this money.
Yeah, I hope he does rent out like Central Park in New York, and then just goes bananas. Just
goes, yeah. Like, he's like, if he, I know he's doing merch and stuff. He's made like I backed potato salad shirts.
Wow. Okay.
He was on a couple like morning talk shows.
Wow.
But other than that, like, yeah, this is the time where I want to see what he does with this money,
mm-hmm.
and if he does just keep most of it for himself.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what he'll do?
Yeah.
Time will tell.
But still,
yeah,
$55,000.
That's crazy
to make a potato salad.
I can't believe like this kind of stuff is happening on Kickstarter.
I can't believe Kickstarter didn't shut down.
Yeah, it kind of. What do you think? It like devalues Kickstarter
a little bit.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I'm like, well, but maybe that's what Kickstarter's for. Dumb ideas.
Well, the thing is like Kickstarter gets a percentage of whatever you raise.
Yeah, I know, but like their image, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you want to be seen as? Oh, we do a whole bunch of dumb shit.
Oh, look, I'm going to raise... I need a dollar to go buy a Kit Kat.
Because I remember when Kickstarter started, right? It was like that whole, you got an idea, we're going to help crowdsource fund it, and then, boom, we make miracles happen. Now it's just like, hey, you got an idea? Is it extra stupid?
Look, something caught viral on the internet, now I'm making money.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's a discussion for another day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for my pick of the week... First up is Monster Hunter 4 has some new DLC.
What?
Legend of Zelda.
Ooh.
You're going to get a sword and shield that looks like the Master Sword. And is it Hylian Shield?
Oh, not the Mirror Shield?
No.
Damn.
And then you're going to get a full armor set that looks like Link.
What are you going to make it from?
Beats me.
It'd probably be a green version of someone.
Probably green Nargacuga,
maybe.
And then,
if you just fight a Link,
yeah. And then I think you also get the bow.
Oh, if you want to make the bow.
If you want to make the bow, yeah, that's cool. Monster Hunter 4 slated to release here in North America early 2015. So,
oh yeah,
it's still a ways away.
I still want a Wii U for that.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's gonna drop in March.
Yeah,
because it did last time, right?
Wait, is that coming out for Wii U?
Oh, actually, I don't know.
No, I think that's 3DS only.
Yeah, it might be. Because in Japan, it's only 3DS.
Dang. Wow. Oh, but I have online play, so whatever.
Oh, yeah, true online play this time. Okay, yeah, so there's that. That was just a small thing. My real pick, though, is EA announced this program called EA Access.
I heard about this.
EA Access.
Do you want to play five-year-old EA games?
Well, they haven't announced how old the game's going to be.
Yeah. Well, I've seen, like, some games. It's like, you played Battlefield 2.
Well, so the premise is, like, PlayStation Plus and Games with Gold on Xbox Live, EA is going to announce a subscription service where you can have access to a whole roster of EA games. They have announced some old stuff. They haven't really announced super new stuff, but like most free game things are, nothing's ever new.
Yeah, like, I don't think you're going to be able to get brand new games.
Do think for the yearly sports, I wouldn't be surprised if you get like last year's title.
Oh, okay.
Right, like say this month, Madden. What is it?
15.
15 is coming out.
Yeah.
I bet like a month before that comes out, Madden 14 will be available.
Yeah.
Right.
I can see that.
Or the summer, just to hype you up, so that maybe you go out and buy Madden 15. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I believe the pricing is going to be $30 a year. Okay. Or $5 a month.
Okay, that's not bad.
So it's not too bad. The big news is that it's exclusive to Xbox One.
Well, exclusive, air quotes.
What do you mean?
Because Sony just didn't want it. Did you hear that story?
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's exclusive to Xbox One. Yeah. I mean, like, it doesn't matter if they release their statement. The point is, it's exclusive to Xbox One.
I still thought that was crazy.
What?
Like, that Sony was just like, no, this is, like, they just put a press release pretty much bashing the EA subscription service.
Yeah, they did. I don't know why they would do that. I don't know why they would it's hard to tell if they're being genuine or they're just trying not to devalue their own service.
Yeah, because it's still very, like, the press release is still very press release-y. Yeah. Like, it just says that, like, they don't feel that this is enough value for their customers or whatever. But, like, at the same time, that's, like, a slap in the face to EA.
Yeah. And I read it as a bit hypocritical as well, because, like, they have a service that does the same thing.
Yeah.
And it costs, what, double? But, I mean, of course, it's more than just EA games.
Yeah.
The big thing, though, is that because of this announcement, I don't think PlayStation Plus will ever have EA games available on PlayStation Plus anymore.
Like, you think EA will just say no?
They'd have no incentive to anymore, yeah. Right? I just don't think... I think going... like, and that same goes for Xbox Live. I don't think either service will have EA games available anymore.
Do you think they'd even have... like, or, so do you mean, like, through a free program? Or yeah, just
through,
to
through,
buy?
Through a free program. Through a free program.
Would they even have that option? Because, like, I know Steam, for Steam sales, Steam could... if you put your game on Steam, and Steam decides to have a sale, they can put your game on sale without...
No, wait, what do you mean? I just mean, like, EA games don't be available on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Like, their game is up on the digital network, right?
No. I mean, like, they won't be available, you know, when they do the free game per month.
Yeah, no, that's... because... okay, so the free game is only games that are on PSN.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think that EA even has that option to say we don't want to be part of a free thing ever? Do they have that option?
I would assume so. Okay.
Because, like, yeah, no, the way Steam has it is, like, if they have a Steam sale, you can't, like, if they want to put your game on sale, they just do it.
Yeah, but Steam would never put it for free, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
right?
True.
Right? Like, they have to have some sort of monetization value, okay. Right?
All
right. And I just don't think... because the way PlayStation Plus works is they work out deals, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Sony pays them a set amount of money in advance.
Yeah.
And then they go on sale. And I just don't think that possibility is going to happen. What I'm really interested to know is how this is going to affect the global market. Because we know that the PlayStation 4 is outselling everything around the world. But if say, like, I could pay $30 a year, I get FIFA, Madden, all the sports games, right? Yeah,
and even if I don't care about being, like, current roster, like, I just want to play football.
Right, and with most sports games having updating rosters throughout the year, I am curious to know how that's going to affect worldwide sales of the platform. Like, will that make, say, Brazil be like, oh, hey, you buy an Xbox One, you pay $30 a year, you get all the EA sports games. Mm. And for a lot of mainstream people, that's kind of all they get their consoles for, right?
Yeah.
Who knows if it'll affect. I think it could be interesting. Personally, I don't see a value in it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I would subscribe to it. I know I like Dragon Age and Mass Effect, but not enough to...
to pay $30 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, at that point, it also with, like, the used market, like, how would it compete with the used market, too?
Well, I think with the world moving to digital, used is slowly going to go away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're still a ways out from that.
I guess that's another, like, Patrick Klepek on Giant Bomb, he did a really good article, like, an opinion piece on the way digital... games are gonna take over.
Yes,
and it's not like he says, like, you know how people buy vinyl now, because all music is now digital. It's kind of gonna be like that. Like, owning a physical version of a game is gonna be more of a statement rather than the only option.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be like, you get what you really like physically, and then you can shelve it and then do all this stuff. And that was a really good, like, opinion piece.
Yeah. Like, I'm definitely all for digital at this point. I mean, the only reason I go physical is because I don't have the internet.
Oh, to, like, keep up with the downloads? Or?
Yeah, well, yeah, like, when I'm doing, like buying games on the Xbox One, like, those are, like, 50 gig downloads.
And they only have a 500 gig hard drive or something?
Yeah, and, like, it's, well, it doesn't matter, because even if I buy the game at the store, I have to install the full game.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how it works with the PlayStation, right? It's all the same way. It just depends on, like, do you want to wait, or is it faster to go to the store, come back, and then install it?
Yeah.
And with my internet, it's still faster to go to the store and buy it.
Yeah, it's a fiber optics, man.
Yeah, that's not available in my area.
Same.
So
disappointed.
So I can't do that yet. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I wish them luck. Whether it'll succeed or not, I don't know.
Also, if this is popular, like, if it does catch on, like, I wonder if this opens the floodgates for more publishers to just, like, if there's going to be a Ubisoft equivalent or a Activision Blizzard equivalent.
I have no doubt. The one thing that's interesting, though, is that this sort of changes the whole market for video games in general. Again, with, like, PlayStation Plus out there, people are now just being like, let's not buy games. Let's just wait for them to go free.
Yeah.
Right? It's and hurting. What is... Yeah, you're right. It's going to hurt the industry as a whole.
Yeah.
It's the same way how Steam hurts the industry as a whole.
Mm-hmm. It's the same way used games hurt the industry
as a whole. Yeah, so it's... Like, I don't know if I said this on air, but like, yeah, off air. I don't play video games day one as much as anymore, and I totally see the value of these free monthly games.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm definitely using them, and I enjoy it. And but yeah, no, it definitely devalues everything. So
it's kind of nuts.
Yeah, we're quickly moving into a world where, you know what? I think I could do with a Netflix style subscription service of video games
for each publisher.
Maybe not each publisher, but select ones.
Because like I don't see them like I don't see there being like an all encompassing.
You know what? I think if I could just get first party Microsoft and first party Sony, then I'll be good. I'd be good.
Okay.
The dream is first party Nintendo.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah, right.
That's never gonna happen. But yeah, no. So yeah, EA Access. It seems like a controversial thing at the moment, but it's interesting. That's it. Is there any other pick you wanted to highlight this week?
No.
Yeah, me neither. So let's carry on.
Hello, listeners. Do you enjoy hearing Anthony talk about his digital dreams, Vince's plastic preferences, or my cardboard crack addiction? Well, we'd like to hear about all your pastimes, too. Send us some letters at tniab.letters@gmail.com. After all, your letters are part of the coolest things in the world, too.
So this week, let's see. TJ, did you do anything this week?
Nope.
Awesome.
You're playing Soul Sacrifice.
I worked. Oh, yeah, I guess.
Oh, that's true.
But you're literally playing it, like, right now.
He's been playing this for, like, the past couple weeks.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So what's this game about? I hear there's, like, a talking book, and then you can tap the back touch to make the book fall forward.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wait, basically, hold on. What's the genre?
Action.
So it's like a Monster Hunter?
Yeah. I guess when they got rid of Monster Hunter on the Sony platform, they created this.
I thought they created God Eater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that game's kind of garbage.
They did. They did.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I tried that game. I couldn't get into it.
Okay. But Soul Sacrifice is the...
Basically... They're like the arena matches in... Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
So like it's not an explorable world. Like,
okay.
There's not different parts of the map. It's just one area.
Okay.
And then there's a monster. And basically you're a sorcerer who's reading through this book. It's a talking book. But basically the book tells the story of, I guess, one of the main sorcerers in the story.
Okay.
Who used to be like the partner of the main baddie.
Mm-hmm.
And basically you're going through his life, trying to figure out what the hell happened to him. And then... Yeah. The gameplay is interesting because when you kill, like, a demon...
Yeah.
You get to choose whether you save it or sacrifice it.
Oh.
And then depending on what faction you belong to, there's, like, three different factions. You'll either, like, heal your life, increase the amount of offerings you have. Offerings are pretty much your main... way of, I guess...
Leveling up?
No, like, your...
Currency?
Like, your moves.
Oh!
Your skill set.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, because basically you can equip six different, offerings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, because you don't have weapons or anything.
Oh! Because
you're a sorcerer, so the offerings
Shut
are, like...
magic.
Yeah, it's pretty much six different types of magic.
So, like, okay.
Healing magic, you can summon a weapon, holding magic, and,
okay,
like, different elements and stuff. But basically, you can only use them a set number of times during the match. And if you overuse it,
yeah,
it'll break the offering.
Okay.
And then you'll have to spend, like, the in-game currency. It's called Lacroma.
Lacroma.
Yeah, it's basically tears that you collect from the talking book.
What?
Whoa, yeah, this game's dark.
So you collect those, and that's what you use to repair the offerings, or, like, to change, like, the stories in the book.
Oh,
I know, it's really cool, though. Because, like, There's voice acting, so mm-hmm. it'll read the book to you.
Oh, cool.
And, like, you could flip through the pages to look at different missions and stuff.
That sounds good.
There's a whole... what do you call that? It's like an encyclopedia for yeah. monsters.
Oh, the omnibus? No, not the omnibus. The
like it's like an almanac.
Almanac, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they have one of those.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you read up on all the lore.
Hold on, like, all the lore is voice acted?
No, man, oh, okay, I okay. wish, because okay. then I would just leave it on.
Okay, yeah, I would do that, too.
But, like, the story is all voice acted.
Okay, okay.
But, yeah. That's all I've been doing, really.
Okay, how long is this game?
You think? Oh, man. I think I've put in, like, almost 20 hours. And I don't know how far I am.
Oh, okay.
Because there's, like, there's story missions. Mm-hmm. And then there's, I guess, optional missions that you can choose to do.
Yeah. I think you're doing them?
Yeah. They range from, like, 1 star to 15 star.
Okay. And for customization, is it more than just your movesets? Is it also, like, armor? Is it...
Yeah, so they don't have armor. Basically, you can... There's, like, different types of clothing you can buy.
Oh, okay.
And then what it is your right arm, you can attach what they call sigils to it. And these sigils will, like, boost your attack with a certain type of magic. There's one that'll help you destroy parts, like, cursed parts on the monster faster. There's ones that'll increase your health, your attack, your defense, a bunch of different stuff.
Okay.
And then there's also these, it's like a last-ditch effort move. Like, when your life goes all the way down, mm-hmm. I can't remember what the magic's called. Basically, it's a really strong dark magic attack
yeah.
at the cost of, like, your mobility or your life or...
Oh.
So it's like you trade your survivability
yeah.
for a massive attack.
Okay.
But yeah.
It's like,
it's very interesting. It's like, kind of dark.
Sounds like it. Tears from a book to sell to others? Jeez.
It's dark.
I mean, yeah. my book cry more than you. I'm better than you.
Clearly.
Okay, yeah, well, man. It sounds like a cool game.
It is.
Yeah, maybe I'll try it.
You have a Vita?
No, I'll just take his.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you guys can try it if you want.
Okay, cool. For my week, it's very, very short. Mm-hmm. So I did, like I mentioned earlier, I've been indulging in the whole free game subscription thing. So on my Xbox One, I got 3 games.
Right.
I got Strike Suit Zero.
Right.
I got Dishonored.
Right.
And I got Crimson Dragon. I've only played Strike Suit Zero.
Isn't that new?
Crimson Dragon?
Yeah.
That came out like last Christmas.
Wasn't that an Xbox One launch game?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Already free.
See what I'm saying? Changes the game.
That's crazy.
That changes the world, right? Strike Suit only came out in like May. Or April.
Well, it came out on PC a long time ago.
But yeah, but on Xbox with like the director's cut. Yeah, it was pretty new. So, whoa, yeah.
Talk about a deal.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Jeez,
it's
like yeah. why buy new games, guys?
Gaming marketplaces are weird now.
Yeah,
and especially with them being like $69.99 now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Strike Suit Zero, it takes place in space, I think.
What? No way.
And you're like some sort of space X-wing TIE fighter thing, and you shoot stuff in space.
And then
a sequence of events happens. You get a new jet thing called the Strike Suit, and it turns your jet thing into a robot.
So it's Macross.
Kind of. Like, in many ways, yes, but there's no Garwalk.
Yeah, so it's better than Macross.
But the gameplay is like someone who really loved Zone of the Enders.
Okay.
You know how in Zone of the Enders, like, you hold and tag everybody for the missiles?
Yeah.
It does, like, that's a big part of the gameplay.
Okay.
I've only played a couple hours. It's weird. Like, I enjoy what this game is trying to do. I've been having fun with just the whole transforming back and forth. Oh, and your robot mode's on a limiter.
Oh, okay.
Like, you have to destroy enemies constantly to keep that robot mode activated.
Okay.
It's weird. It's like an arcade jet fighting simulator. Because you have two types of machine guns, you have flares for missiles mm-hmm. to evade, and then you have your own homing missiles, and then it turns into Zone of the Enders when you morph into your ship.
Oh, okay. Thing.
And then you have, like, the homing beacons, and you have, like, the instant destruction cannons. And it's super fun! And yet, you know that stigmatism I've always talked about with indie games, where it's like, I know this is an indie game?
Yeah.
I know this is an indie game. And, so, like, you can tell, like, the production value just isn't there, and the visuals feel like it's, like, you're running a 1999 PC game on current maximum quality settings.
And it's still making your fan go crazy.
Yeah, and you're like, I know it's kind of sad for me to be all like, I'm getting all stuck up at like aesthetics and quality, but at the end of the day, if that's part of the experience and I'm not enjoying it, that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's kind of turning me off. I'm just like, huh. I get it, like it's made by a small team and they achieve something cool, but I'm sorry, I just don't appreciate it. Because it's not something I really find impressive. But I'm gonna stick with it. I'm gonna try and continue on. If I don't like this, I'll go to Crimson Dragon, which I've heard is even worse.
That was made by a regular studio.
That's made by a real studio. But I might like it because I love Panzer Dragoon.
It doesn't like flying dragons.
I know, right?
Did you ever play Drakengard?
No, but that's different.
Yeah, it's Dynasty Warriors of Dragon.
Yeah, that's a lot different. But yeah, and then if I don't like that, I'll finally play Dishonored. But
I'm like the only person who doesn't like that game.
Yeah, no. Because you like weird games.
I like good games. That game's not good.
We gotta go back to Anarchy Reigns.
Hey, I said that game's good. Sniper Elite's good. Anarchy Reigns is kind of bad.
Let's see, what else? You play all those, I don't even know, that Lollipop Chainsaw game.
That game's bad. I told you the worst two Suda 51 games are Lollipop Chainsaw and Killer 7, or Killer is Dead.
Oh yeah, you got that game, right?
Yeah, I got the limited edition. Yo, that game's trash.
Oh man, I can't believe you got that
day one.
Yeah. And then after that, I read a book, first chapter of a book.
Wait,
it's called
Reddit.
I read it, like the physical book. I was bored, and I saw the book on a table, and I was like, whatever, I'll just...
just do it.
Yeah, let's do it. I read the first chapter of The Fault in Our Stars. Aww. I believe this movie just came out, The Fault in Our Stars. I don't know if you guys saw the movie.
No.
Yeah. Anyways, this book just, you could tell, it just says New York Times, number one bestseller, critically acclaimed novel, blah, 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 blah. I read the first chapter. Man, that was really good. So the premise is there's this girl, I think her name is Haley, I don't know if her name is Haley, it might be Jennifer.
It might be Elizabeth.
Who cares? The point is, she has thyroid cancer.
Dang.
And the first chapter sets up her just going to her support groups.
Okay.
And people talk about different types of cancers they have, and she's a 16-year-old girl, but it's written, like, it's so... witty and so sarcastic, and it makes
like a teenager.
Yeah, and it makes such a dark situation feel so fun and lighthearted. And
yeah, cancer.
She talks about like ball cancer from some other dude, and like yeah, this guy's gonna go blind, and like it's about like a whole bunch of people. They know their life is gonna end, but they're kind of all just like fuck it, whatever. Let's do it.
Let's just live our life.
Yeah,
man.
And I think everybody should read the first chapter just to see if they like it. It's not a hard read. That's not to say it's for babies. I just mean, like, you know how when you're in a professional setting, you have a certain type of vocabulary you like to use?
Yeah.
This is a lot written when... The style of this book is written, like, when you're talking with your friends in a very casual setting.
Yeah.
So there's a lot... There's not necessarily a lot of slang, but it's not, like... There's not even high vocabulary use. It's just, it's a good reading level.
Okay. Yeah, that's like the problem I have with like some of the more sciencey books I like.
Yeah.
Where like I bought this one, he's written by a neurologist.
So yeah.
He uses like crazy science terms, and like half the time I'm just like, all right, let's pull up my dictionary.
Yeah, like you have to read this book with another book.
Yeah, I know.
It's like reading with what's it called? Like a cipher?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I like it. I don't know if I'm going to finish this book.
Are you going to read the second?
Because I don't own the book. I just saw the book, read it, so... If I download the audiobook, then you'll know.
Just mow through it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, it was interesting. So, yeah. That's it for my week. Nothing much else. Project Rewatch Ariel continues. Yeah.
So you didn't even start Samurai Flamenco?
Did you start Gundam Build Fighters?
Yeah, I did. I watched like 3 episodes of
no,
it.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, when it first came out. When it first came out, I watched
well, 3 episodes. Well, forget me like that. I watched the first 2 episodes of Flamenco then.
Okay, all right.
Jeez, this guy. You know what anime I did start watching though?
What?
Full Metal Panic.
That's good. I watched Fufumufu.
So yeah. After watching more of Golden, which I really enjoy, I figured, okay, I should watch that Fumumufu.
Okay.
But I didn't watch that yet.
Okay. That's just funny.
Yeah, and then the Sailor Mars episode happened on Sailor Moon. Yeah. Crystal. Mars the best.
Yeah, she's like the worst, but okay.
No, you watched that and you're like, damn!
No, I was like, yo, Sailor Mars is pretty cool. You got fire. You know, you got some seals.
Yeah, when she used the seal and set the Jedi to blaze.
Yeah, just wait until, like, thunder crashes start happening. It'll be way cooler.
I thought, though, it's cool when Jupiter turns her thunder into a ball.
Yeah.
And tosses it underslung like a baseball. Mm-hmm. That's cool. But yeah, no. What's your week, Anthony?
My week, I'm playing some old and new games. I started Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Okay.
I bought this in a Steam sale like a long time ago. It was like $1 for the director's cut.
And, wow.
Like, all the DLC.
Jeez.
Right? You know, right?
Came in on a budget.
And I finally got it. Or I finally started playing it. And that game is like a PC game through and through. Like, you know how like when you play Skyrim, you can kind of tell like this is a PC game. You can do some like weird broken stuff in this. And there are multiple occasions already. Like, I've only played for about 3 hours.
Yeah.
But where it's like, this is an area I'm not supposed to be at yet.
Mm.
But through the magic of stacking boxes.
Box stacking?
I can get anywhere I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've learned quickly that investing in super strength, which allows me to pick up giant dumpsters and then throw them so that they go up on their side.
Does that also increase your jump or no?
No, there's a separate one.
Oh, okay. There is a separate one. Okay.
So, like, there was this one area where I couldn't get to because this alleyway was all electrified. Like, it had puddle water on the ground, and there's a constant electrical charge. And I'm sure there's some puzzle or something I got to hack to do it.
Nope.
And I just said, no, I'm not even going to do that. I'm just going to stack up these dumpsters on top of each other, and I'm going to hop this fence.
Okay.
And you can do that with a lot of different areas.
Yeah, you can.
Just get into areas you're not supposed to be able to get into.
Yeah, there's a lot of optional ways to do it. Like, you could go to the passcode thing and turn it off. But
or I could stack boxes and hop the fence. Because none of the AI really registers that as being something you're not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing you do die really fast in this game.
Yeah, you're fragile.
Yeah, for someone who's the badass cyborg, you are very fragile.
Yeah, you look like you're a robot made of metal, but you're made of glass.
And there's no down the sights on anything other than a sniper rifle.
Is there not?
I haven't.
Oh, you're right. It's like Halo. Yeah, it's all hip
fighting. Yeah, so anytime I get into a firefight, I absolutely hate it. So I've taken the stealth route, and like the pure stealth route, like I don't kill anybody. Like I just sneak past everybody while they're alive. And that's been fun because I usually don't play those games like that, at least on a first playthrough.
Oh, you like to run and gun?
I like to...
Or you just like going hot?
I like to sneak, but I also like to trank people to, like, get that extra security.
Oh.
Like, I don't like the true ghost, like, Splinter Cell runs where it's like, you didn't kill anybody and you were never caught and you got past this area. Yeah. And so I've been doing that. And that's really fun. But the cool part I like about this game is the hacking. The hacking minigame is pretty fun. But all the different... it's kind of like in Fallout when you hack terminals and you get all this different backstory on the area you're in or of people you're hacking.
Oh, did you just hack regular computers?
I would just hack regular computers.
Just to see, like, email
files? Yeah, check out emails. Like, this one guy had a subscription to, like, an Android porn site.
Yeah.
It's, like,
cool.
There's, like, really weird stuff in that game, and it's super cool.
I want that job where, like, you're just writing this fictional shit that no one might ever see, but you're like, well, if someone sees it.
Well, Jerry's got a wife and a family of three.
Yeah.
But he also likes weird, weird stuff, and we're going to put this in his emails.
I remember there's one time in the office where, like, there's an argument going around the office, and it was all done through, like, emails.
Okay.
I mean, I can't remember the story, but I just thought it was really cool.
Yeah. I also like the variety of ways you can get around.
Mm-hmm.
There are all these, like, crazy multiple paths.
Yeah.
And that allows for a lot of cool things. Like, I'm going to be on this mission in the police station, but I'm going to take this alternate vent that lets me go to the storage room, which then lets me sneak up behind one of the guards, stun him, and then, like, I steal everything from the from the weapon safe and stuff. And I like those games. Like, I like those kind of PC-style games with a lot of exploration, and there's not really one way to tackle the situation.
Right.
I'm also surprised that this game has any sort of open world at all. I thought it was going to be very linear. Like, I thought it was going to be like, you go from here, next level, you go here.
To be fair, it's very small.
It is very small. It's
like two districts.
Yeah. Did you ever play Tony Hawk American Wasteland?
No.
Oh, okay.
I stopped after Pro Skater 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You didn't even get to, like, get off your board then?
No.
Dang. That's where comps are crazy. But anyways, like, in that one, it was like, each level was connected, but they kind of cheated. Mm-hmm. This feels like that. So, like, there'll be a level, there'll be an area, and you can go around the city. But then it's connected by, like, a subway system. Oh. And so you go through this really narrow corridor to the next area. So it's, like, it's technically connected, but it's not. And that's what this is.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's a fun game. Like, I kind of want to play this over everything else I've been playing.
You should. You should finish it.
Yeah, so far it's really good. Just the story in between, with all the emails circulating the cop station. Like, that little story in the cop station is really good. And then I've also been playing a Portal 2 mod called Aperture Tag, a paint testing initiative. And so it's a fan-made project using the Portal 2 engine.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys made a new game. So you are a different test subject, and another sphere by the name of Nigel. He created a paint gun. So you remember the gels in Portal 2? The blue one that lets you bounce and the orange one that lets you go super fast.
I remember seeing them in videos. I never played Portal 2.
Oh, okay. Well, they have those in videos, but now instead of using portals as your gun, you use the paint.
Oh, okay.
And they have all these new original puzzles, and then also some of the original puzzles from Portal 2, they use, but you have to solve it with paint instead of portals. And you can get into, like, really interesting, like, I gotta, like, run off this ramp, put jumping paint on this wall, and I bounce off with that momentum and stuff like that. And it makes for some really interesting puzzles. But like you said with Strike Suit, like, how you can tell it's an indie game, like, even below that, you can tell when it's a mod.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's, like, no polish.
Yeah, there's, like, this is all recycled assets.
Yeah.
There is minimal voice acting, but you can tell it's very amateur.
Yeah.
Some of it's kind of witty. The one thing I'll say, though, is that the puzzles are very, very well done. They're very clever. It's just some of them are kind of, they need more polish. Like, there's one where you have to shoot a cube over this wall so it lands on a button.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have any control over how it's thrown.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to, like, rely on inertia.
Oh, okay.
And kind of, like, a random bounce for it to hit.
Oh.
So I was stuck on this puzzle. Like, I knew the solution already, but I was stuck on this puzzle for, like an hour.
Wow, you spent that long.
Huh? I'd play for, like, 20 minutes trying to get this box there. I'd be like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Stop it. Then go back. Son of a, and then stop it, and, like, probably total this was like an hour.
Okay.
And, like, just there's certain things like that where, like, it kind of counts too much on, like, random number generator for the puzzle to be solved. Other than that, it's pretty cool. This is a mod, but it's a paid mod.
Yes.
I got it on sale, but regular price is $7. It's not that much. It's more than $5. But also there are people on Steam. It's kind of like, it kind of made this mini outrage in the Steam community with, like, this should be free. Like, they did all this stuff. Like, they didn't do enough work for it to pay money and stuff like that. So like that, I wanted to add that into your thing about, like, games kind of like why pay full price.
Yeah.
It's also making kind of this, like, entitled segment of gamers where it's like,
everything should be free.
Yeah, everything should be free. I know you worked on this really hard and stuff, but I don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
And I think this game is worth $7. But you're getting $7 worth of entertainment. This is recycled material. There's not new assets or anything.
Well, what does $7 really mean, man?
What does it mean to you?
I mean, I just got Dishonored for free. So clearly, this $7 game should be better.
Yeah, see? So that, again, that's an interesting conversation to have when it comes to the marketplace of video games now. But I do enjoy this. Like, there is some polish that needs to be done, but I think it's a really interesting take on Portal 2. Mm-hmm. And using the gels exclusively,
yeah,
and then only having portals that the game allows you to have,
yeah,
really make for interesting puzzles and just like a lot of cool action areas. Like there was one scene where this area was collapsing, so you pretty much had to do like a race mm-hmm. out of this area. So you had to do this like long chain of events where you're running super fast on orange gel,
yeah,
and then you launch off a ramp, and then midair you have to shoot a wall with a blue gel and then bounce off and like do a 45 degree turn.
Sounds complicated.
It's still a trial and error, those ones, but yeah. they're once you get it down, you kind of feel like a badass because it's just constant motion at high speeds,
right?
And that's really cool. Other than that, that's been my week.
What else do you want to bring up? Anything small? Change a tire? Change your oil?
I should change my oil. Yeah, it's been a long time. Because, like, usually when I get my oil changed, like, they have, like, a thing that's, like, bring back in this date.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that this time, so I don't remember when I got my last oil change.
You don't remember I think that means you need to change your oil.
I think that means I need to go change my oil. Also, my air conditioning's broken.
Oh, boy, that sucks.
Yeah, it only shoots out.
It's been getting hot this week.
Yeah. So, a lot of windows down.
Oh, man. Well, that's exciting. Yeah. All right, cool.
I still think the craziest news this week was... Go ahead. Our local bridge getting demolished.
Yeah. It was very interesting.
So, in our hometown of Hamilton,
yeah,
some guy was drunk at the wheel of a dump truck. And he had the cargo, I guess like the little box.
Yeah.
He had it lifted up. And there's this bridge. And like, so when you have the bridge, there's like a bridge that have supports at the bottom. And there's the ones that have supports at the top.
Yeah.
So this one had supports over top of the bridge.
Yes. It's a suspension bridge.
Yeah, suspension bridge.
It's an arched suspension bridge.
And he just rode through this solid steel and just broke it.
Yep.
And it's ruined everything.
Yeah. So the where this bridge is positioned is if you think of a cube mm-hmm. And you're trying to go quarter to quarter,
yeah.
There's the bridge is that pathway.
Yeah.
But he broke the bridge, so now everybody has to go down to one side and then up. And it has caused huge, huge traffic in our pretty quiet city.
It's nuts.
Yeah. I've never seen so many cars in downtown Hamilton.
It's insane. Like, I don't know how... Man. And everyone I talked to wants that guy lynched.
Which is so... I mean, like, yeah, he made a mistake. He threw the bridge. But you know what? No one was hurt.
No one was hurt. But he was drunk at the wheel.
You're right. There was a possibility. But to say, like, this guy deserves a death penalty is a bit... overblown. I mean, no one should deserve to die. I don't know.
Shouldn't they, though?
I don't know. The dude's going to jail.
Yeah, no, he's going to jail for drunk driving, but man. Yeah, that's brutal.
I mean, like, yeah. Like, to suddenly, like, bring up the picket forks and just be like, yo, check it out. You need to die.
He's a monster. Kill him. I think that's a little extreme.
Yeah. It doesn't help that he's not Caucasian.
Yeah, he is not Caucasian.
And we'll leave it at that. Okay, so now this is the end of the show, but before we end, we have a letter that I forgot to read earlier on in the show. So here we go. This one's from Byron Grassing. Hello, Anthony, Blavin, Vince, and TJ.
Look, you're in the email. That's interesting.
After listening to Vince talk about his models on the podcast and watching his model reviews on YouTube has made me wish I would have started getting into models when I was younger. This leads into my question, are there any nerd hobbies or hobbies in general that you wish you had started at a younger age? Thanks, Byron. TJ, do you want to tackle this one first?
Nerd hobbies?
Let's just say hobbies that you wanted to do when you were a kid or that you wish you did. That you were...
Well, it's more like something I wish I stuck with.
Okay.
Piano.
Oh, really? You wish you stuck with piano?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah, we started piano lessons at the same time, and then we, like, quit at the same time.
Yeah, but we also did grade one, like, 5 times.
Oh, that's true, we did.
Stupid.
Yeah. You just had to restart over and over?
Well, it's because we started at one place.
We kept switching schools.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Why. That's annoying.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Like, we would switch before we finished.
Oh, okay. So you knew everything, but... You didn't get the certificate yet.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wow, that sucks.
That's one thing. Another thing would have been some sort of martial art.
Yeah.
Just anything.
Yeah.
Just anything.
Yeah. Anthony, do you need some time to think?
No, like, for me, it's guitar.
Guitar?
Yeah, like,
Another
musical instrument. Like, I used to take guitar lessons, and I really enjoyed it, and then I just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Or I wish I stuck with any of the... I wish I stuck with soccer.
Yeah.
Sports. I really enjoyed soccer when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I was pretty good at goalie. I'll say I was pretty good, you know.
Okay, sure.
The little league coach was like, hey.
This 4-year-old is amazing. This 4-year-old is
amazing. Usually we're supposed to rotate goalie, but you're in permanently.
Yes. He knows how to play.
And like, I never stuck with it. It's just like a lot of little things. Like, even if it wouldn't have amounted to anything.
Do you think, wait, I have to know, is it that... You stopped going because you lost interest, or is it, like, other uncontrollable circumstances?
It was uncontrollable circumstances. Okay. Like,
oh, that's unfortunate.
Like, I can't, like, for pretty much everything I want to stick with, it's, like, uncontrollable circumstances.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, the one controllable circumstance is video games. Yeah. So that's why I stuck with that.
Okay.
The one thing I regret about video games, though, is that I wish I never traded in games as a kid.
Oh. Wow.
Because, like, I had a lot of PS2 games that I wish I still had.
Okay.
Yeah. And just other stuff like that.
And you just buy them all back?
Game?
Yeah, I wish I had them all back, yeah.
Haven't you bought them all back already?
No, not all of them.
Oh.
Some of them are just, they're too expensive to buy back.
Oh.
But a lot of, like, obscure JRPGs and stuff.
Right.
I used to trade in games, like, on mofo.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, oh man, Vice City's coming out.
That's interesting.
If I trade in Grand Theft Auto 3, I get a $20 credit.
Wow. Yeah, I still trade in games like crazy.
Yeah, it's because you're... bananas.
Well, actually, I do a little bit more than trade. Let's be honest.
Cheat the system?
I cheat all the time.
Yeah, I broke my disc.
That GameStop guarantee is fantastic. Let me tell you, it is fantastic.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But, so that's it for you guys? For the extra nerd hobbies?
It's not even nerd hobbies for me, like,
yeah,
it's just hobbies.
You know what? I think every hobby is a nerd hobby, to be honest.
If you get into anything,
yeah, anything you get into is super nerdy.
That's
a,
yeah.
There's a level of any hobby which is just beyond casual, and you're just like, or beyond hardcore. And you're just like, wow, I'm really into this.
I always try to tell that to my family members who are way into like fantasy football.
That's like the nerdiest thing ever. Like,
you guys are freaking dorks. Yeah. And they're like, no, we're not, man. It's football. It's sick. I'm like, you're stat tracking.
I'm like, yeah, you have graph paper.
You have graph paper. You've made like probabilities of how much points people will get.
You're doing math.
You're doing math. Like, you might as well be playing D&D. Like, let's just play Dungeons and Dragons. Like, no, man. It's football. It's manly.
It's just a different genre.
Like, Yeah, I'll agree with that. There is a level eventually that people get to where
you're just so deep.
You're just so deep that, like,
yeah,
anything, like, you know, like, you, I guess like, there's a level where you get fed up with normal people.
Yeah, there's a level where you get fed up with even those who are into it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're into it, but you're just not deep enough.
Yeah, like, you're still amateur. Don't come up to me here at expert premium level.
Expert premium? Oh, man, I had that moment, eh?
Oh, did you?
At my school.
Oh, no!
So this guy, he had Hotline Miami songs for a ringtone, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, his ringtone going off, I was like, it's Hotline Miami, I like that game. And he's like, I think he was kind of upset that I was able to recognize it right away.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, my nerd cred. Like, this is the obscure thing that no one knows about and has to ask me about.
Yeah.
And then he just randomly kind of like... started playing video game music,
yeah,
and other stuff, and he's like, and he just, I got all of them, and you could see it in his face, like,
oh no,
Why?
I need to know more. How come I don't know the most?
Oh, the worst was when I started with, like, yeah, I got these Final Fantasy IV piano renditions on my, and he's like, no, you've out nerded me. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna be single forever.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that, yeah, those moments are like, they're funny when they happen, and then you reflect on them, and you're like, oh god, what is my life?
It's almost, after that instant gratification, it's like, what have I done?
Yeah, instantaneously, it's like, I'm a monster.
Save me. Someone save me!
Yeah. What about you?
So I don't know if I have two, like, yeah, there's the obvious ones, like, I wish I kept with an instrument, I wish I did martial arts, but I think if there's one thing that I really, really wanted to get into, but just never had the opportunity because just didn't have the money, right?
I think I know what it is.
What is it?
Racing?
Yeah. When I first went to the go-kart tracks, TJ will know, at the side of our go-kart tracks is the, like...
The real
go-kart karting, tracks. Yeah. And we would always see, like, the younger white-collar people racing around on professional weekends, right?
Same. I saw that, too. I always wanted to do that,
And
too.
I asked my dad, and we looked into it, and he's like, nope.
No. That's so expensive.
He's like, it's too much money. Here, have a Hot Wheels car. And I remember there would be some weekends, I remember me and TJ, we would go and just go and do the go-karting, and then we would see those things. And there was even, like, the RC racing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
High-end RC cars are
expensive. Yeah, and so like, I guess that would be one of them, too, if I couldn't get it. But both ends are just so expensive for a kid, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, and you got to start young for that kind of stuff, and, like, go-karts are $2,000, and then there's travel expenses. How are you going to carry that when you have, like, a little sedan, right?
Yeah, you kind of need a truck.
Yeah, you kind of need everything, and then my parents were both working all the time, so it was hard just to find time.
Just drive your cart there, man.
I know, right? I know. I was thinking about it. But yeah, no, if there was only one thing, that would be it. But not really much else that I'm super, super interested in.
If only we were all rich.
If only we grew up with money. Damn.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah. Oh, well. But that's it. Again, it's a shame Blaven wasn't here, because I'd be very interested to know what he would have said, considering from the moment I met him, he's probably done every hobby I know.
Yeah. He kind of gets into everything.
Yeah, but I would like to know if there's one that he missed.
I bet there was, like, something as a kid, because, like, he grew up in the Philippines, right? And he said he didn't really have much money.
Yeah. That's true. But then when I talked to him, like, he's pretty much done everything he's wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, heck, he took his magic hobbying skills to the Pro Tour.
Yeah,
I mean, there's that. But, yeah. If you guys have your own hobbies that you guys wish you got into when you were younger, we'd love to know, too. We only had a small little window of things that we were interested in.
Yeah.
But, I'm sure there's other cool things out there, like... Who knows? Nothing comes to mind, but I'm sure there's more that we could have...
Skydiving.
I don't think that's a hobby.
Okay. Surfing.
That would be cool.
I wish I took skateboarding more seriously.
I was always afraid of the concrete.
Yo, let me tell you, from experience, concrete sucks.
You don't have to tell me from experience. I think like I can just look at it and be like, yeah, that looks like it's going to suck.
I think... If I wore a helmet as a kid,
yeah,
I'd be, like, Einstein smart. I think I just killed half my brain. Because, like, there are times... Because I'm bad at skateboarding, straight up.
Oh, and you never wore any protection?
And I never wore any protection. So I'm like, oh, man, let's sick. Let's jump down this 5 set.
Interesting.
And then I would land on my board primo, which means, like, you land on it sideways.
Yeah.
And then my board would shoot out from under me. I just whiplash my head on the cement.
Ouch. So your parents were never like, hey, wear some wrist pads or some knee pads?
They gave them to me. And then I went away from the house.
Oh, wow. Okay. What would you do with them?
I just leave them, like, on the floor.
Oh, okay. I guess, yeah, all right.
I don't know. Like, at that age, you're like, oh, man, no one else is doing it. I don't want to be the uncool kid. Like, peer pressure happens.
Oh, I guess I never had that problem.
Yeah, like, because, well, I don't know, skateboarding, like, we would always want to hang out with, like, because when I was, like, 13, we'd always want to hang out with the old, like, the 19, 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
Because, like, oh, they're cool. Oh, but they don't wear pads. Like, we shouldn't wear pads.
Oh, really? Because every time I look at, like, the professional skateboarding scene, they wear all the equipment.
Well, that's, like, professional, but we're like, yeah, But like in like that's vert ramp. That's different. Like right, because like
we're on the streets yeah. where it's not as dangerous.
Yeah, it's not as dangerous as jumping 20 feet in the air. You only fall 10 feet and land on cement and break your arms.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sound logic from a child.
Yeah, that's child logic. Straight up, I'll admit that's child logic.
Yeah.
What that happened.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I knew a guy who broke his testicle.
Oh. I knew a guy who twisted his testicles.
Oh, that's pretty bad too.
And he had to get a surgery to open up the sac and have them untwisted. And that's the end of the Three Nerds in a Basement podcast. If you want to find us, make sure to Google us at Three Nerds in a Basement. We are the first 5 listings. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, our website. All of it is there. If you want to follow us on Twitter, I'm at Vince Sanchez. Anthony is at
Kilroy Can Kill.
TJ doesn't have Twitter.
We should make TJ. Oh, we should do what we do with Blavin. And make TJ a fake Twitter.
And Blavin. And Blavin is at Blavin Blave, where I'm sure you'll be able to, if you check it out, I'm sure he'll have something about magic. Something about magic. That's all he tweets about. Magic.
Yeah. No, yeah. No, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something he needs to tweet about other than magic, but I can't.
Yeah, every time he tweets about something, it's either, hey, I just won that magic, this thing about magic is super cool. That person from Magic just mentioned me, thank you. Magic, magic, magic.
But he'll be here next week.
We hope.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
He's too good for us now.
I think so. Now that he's all gone pro,
yeah.
I think he's too good for this.
He's gonna come back with a lady on each arm.
He's become too good for this lowly basement show. Okay?
Man.
Yeah, he's at the penthouse stage now.
We gotta go pro in something.
Okay, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys in 1 week's time.
Bye.